I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America. Well, hopefully 1 million enslaved minds at a time, because you're going to sign up for our newsletter, help us project what we've got. Multiple postings a day all go to the newsletter. Really, all you got to do, thecommonsenseshow.com, go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the newsletter link, put your email in. That's the only piece of information we need. It'll be sent out to you. Over 50,000 people are doing it, and best of all, it's free. Well, we're continuing our analysis of following the trail of TPUSA's money, and it gets more and more suspicious by the moment. And this is just off the charts nuts. It really is. But what we're going to first do is I wanted to tell you about our sponsor very quickly. It's Noble Gold. And I wanted to put this up here for you because people say, Dave, I can't always remember the number. Okay. You can always remember DaveHodgesGold.com. But Noble Gold right now is, gold itself is the number one appreciating asset. Noble Gold is the only company I'm going to do business with because I trust in their markup is one of the lowest in the industry, if not the lowest. I've worked with them for 8 years. That's why I can tell you the FTC wants me to tell you that every investment carries an inherent risk. Well, I'm taking that risk willingly, and you should too, because you need to not lose 8 to 10% of your money in the bank. You need to put it into something that is appreciating. And if you have your retirement associated with the bank, one day you'll regret it. Noble Gold can take care of that too. And you're going to get two beautiful coins for first-time qualified investors. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com or call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Well, we have just an amazing, amazing set of revelations here. And I've laid it out again in writing for you, because it's hard to follow, because there's so many twists and turns. And when you're doing things that are outside the system, like not filing required reports, the cover-up can be quite complicated. And this is now Tyler Boyer, who used to be the chief operating officer of Turning Point, was replaced in the same email in which Charlie was ordering a complete audit. I don't see that as an accident, not a coincidence. Okay, now remember, three of Turning Point's four organizations did not file the required Form 990. It's like you filing your tax form. Now, here's what we know. Schedule I of TPUSA, they sent $8.6 million to America's Turning Point. Okay, remember, America's Turning Point did not file the 990, so we don't know much about them. TPUSA sent $8.6 million to TP Endowment. And we're going to unravel both of these. The endowment. Now, that's sending money from one shell corporation to another. Although that may technically not be legal on its own standing, it certainly is suspicious, and the auditors I talk to say it's unethical. The money was invested in the stock market. Now, if I was a donor, I'd be really upset because I'd want my donation, if it made money, put it back into the company. I didn't invest in the stock market. I didn't want to by going to TPUSA and investing if I was a donor. I want it to go back into the company. Unbelievable. Do the donors know? They should. Donors are pulling their money back in big numbers, by the way, causing certain donors from certain places to up their ante. Now, we don't know for sure what TP Endowment did with all of the money. We know they put 1.9 million into the market, but what about the 8.6? We don't know. They didn't file any forms. Okay, now, Schedule I claims another form that the 8.5 million was used to pay employees. Now, we don't know that that's true. One ledger says it happened. We don't know because there's no records for the other shell corporations. But here's what we have been able to figure out, or not I, but the people that I've talked to. TPUSA, this is for employee salaries, right? TPUSA has reduced their employees by 33%, but the amount for their salaries has gone up 18, 19 million. What? Yeah, you heard me. And here's where it gets really weird, and I'm going to put this in here too. ATP USA America received millions, but they have no employees. Huh? Look at this. I laid it out here for you, really easy to see. They have no employees. So what's the money being paid for? I'll tell you what the auditors say. This is what they find in companies that are paying fake people. Money laundering operations. Doesn't mean they are, but this is what the people who follow this stuff tell me that this would be the first thing that they would look at. Man. There's more though. There's more misuse of money. TP USA sent $650,000, who they turned around in the TP PAC, Turning Point PAC political action campaign. They donated to political campaigns with that money. I wondered when I first saw that, is that legal? I asked the question. I said, no, it's not. Did you know they got fined $18 million by the government for doing this? So they've already been caught in improprieties. They've already paid a fine for their financial missteps. But what about the clean 990 audit for TP USA, even though there wasn't any for the other three? First of all, the company that did the 990 form, should they have said, well, don't you have three other entities? We should be doing those forms too. But amazingly, they just put their stamp of approval on TP USA. So that caused people to look at Baker Tilly. Well, it just so happens Baker Tilly is being sued for much of the same thing. Catholic Charities, one employee who was key position with money, redirected and improperly spent tens of millions of dollars. Yet Baker Tilly, during that time, that entire time of years, several years, kept giving clean 990 reports. Either you'd think they're either bought off or they're just negligent. But either way, it calls into question even TPUSA's 990 form, the only one of the four corporations that filed as required by law. You can't trust that report because you're seeing this. Let me ask you a question. If you were a detective looking at this, and you're investigating Charlie's homicide, would this be enough for you to really take a strong look at TP USA? And then if it's not, okay, maybe it's not, I would think that I would take a look at this. But here's the other question I wanted to ask you before we close. Why is it that Kash Patel are not looking at these extreme money irregularities, illegal activities that have already been exposed and fines paid? Why aren't they looking at this? And I'm going to give you something here for you to sink your teeth into. Charlie Schott, Mikey McCoy, calmly walks away and keeps on walking. Doesn't check on Charlie despite what his dad lied or was totally mistaken at the memorial service. Oh, his son was covered with blood. No, he wasn't close enough to be covered with blood. He turned and walked away while talking on his phone. Pastor McCoy. That's a fact. It's on tape. So unless you want to send me proof that this is AI creation, it's not accurate. And Candace and I and everybody else who've looked at this, Jimmy Dore, all these people, you're going to tell me that he still had blood on him? And he callously walks away. And that's my word. My friend shot laying on the ground. I could understand someone saying, I'm going to die for cover. I don't know when the next bullet's coming. I got to protect myself. I get that. But that's not what happened. He walked upright, holding a cell phone, receiving a call because Candace timed it. 0.8 seconds, not enough time to dial anybody. Unbelievable. Well, we have one more thing. No, two more things, or probably 50 things, but I'll focus on this. You saw stepping over the barriers. Two people, TP USA employees, taking out the SIM cards, disassembling the camera behind Charlie, and telling the lie, and I've said this many times, that the police told them to obstruct justice and interfere with a crime scene, because that's effectively what they're doing. And Mikey McCoy said, they were told to do that by the police. And I said yesterday, show us the affidavit. get the police to come forward and have them say it, because those cops are losing their job because they compromised a crime scene. That's all I got to say, folks. Stay tuned for part three. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. If I could have my way with one thing regarding your health and the health of the nation, I wouldn't make it mandatory, but I would strongly suggest everyone is on this spray that boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. Save my life. Can do the same thing for you. It's preventative. It's restorative. Now, it doesn't cure anything on its own. It just lifts your immune system to fantastic levels. Find out more by going to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And we're going to go in here and we're going to take a strong look at the Tyler Boyer connections, the McGovern connections, and a new group to suspect. You're not going to believe this. Ukraine. Now, I don't think this is getting enough attention, because when you follow the money in other related situations, now you're saying, well, Dave, it's really obvious that a lot of the evidence points to Israel. I agree. I agree. What I haven't been able to make the connection on is how they're related. But let me just point something out to you that's quite obvious. Can I? What's quite obvious here is that what took us years, decades to find out about JFK, we're discovering here in weeks. And we're kind of shocked and surprised that the JFK playbook would be followed as closely as it has been, because a lot of things alerted me to, this is not quite right. This is not correct. And I've looked at this and I go, oh my goodness gracious, this is a real problem for them. Now, they deal with it by, you shouldn't ask questions. That's the new phrase right now. You're dishonoring Charlie. No. If we don't get to the bottom and bring Charlie justice, that's dishonoring Charlie. I am supremely pissed off about what happened to Charlie. It was needless. It was pointless. And it represents the greed and political agenda of certain groups that's coming into light. Now, let me walk you through some things in part three of this series that we did not get to yesterday, just because there's so much to cover. Okay, I title this Charlie and the Ukrainian Connection. And I think there's no question there is a strong relationship here. And then we're going to take a further look into the finances of TPUSA and start asking some very pointed questions. Let's start with the finances. Charlie's salary that he kept was $390,000 for the massive multi-million dollar operation with four shell companies. That's reasonable for what he was doing. Very reasonable. Actually, you'd say it might be on a little bit on the light side. Now, there is a TPUSA employee, TP Action employee, who got money for salary. Wait a minute. TP Action has no employees. We covered that yesterday. That's a big red flag. Guy named John McGovern collected $233,000 from TPUSA, $512,000 from TP Action. Compare that salary to Charlie's. McGovern is making almost double Charlie. And who is he? There's not much information. But if you go to his Facebook page, which I'm sure after this could be scrubbed, he's traveled all over the world. Well, that kind of money you can afford to. Now, what we end up looking at here is really, really interesting. You're saying, well, Dave, what is that? We're looking at here a man that had double the salary of Charlie, but guess what his Facebook page shows? He travels several times to Ukraine. Now, is that prima facie evidence of foul play, malfeasance of funds? No. But it certainly is an investigative lead that's not being looked at, that certainly should be. And then we add to something that I just found bizarre. I think it was Tucker that played this. Ukraine, and for lack of a better term, Ministry of Propaganda. This person comes out, and I got to tell you, you wouldn't want to meet this person in a dark alley. Gave me the creeps. Just the appearance, the persona, how they were talking. Wow. Scary. That was my gut reaction. Now, that doesn't prove anything either, but let's get down to what does prove something. It was stated that if you oppose Ukraine, we will hunt you down and kill you. Well, Charlie was becoming opposed to the massive aid for Ukraine. These are strong investigative leads that have never been looked at. And I know what you're going to say, and I'm asking the same thing. How do you balance what we know about Tel Aviv IP addresses, looking at the key figures connected to the assassination starting as early as July, with the FBI looking at Lee Harvey, Tyler James Robinson, the day before the assassination on the 9th of September? Yeah, the case there is strong to look strongly, more strongly into the possible Israel connection. But we can't ignore what we have just found here. And could it be that this exorbitant salary, somehow part of it might be laundered into Ukraine in some fashion that we don't know? It should be looked at. So this is something that really gets to me. Now, we're going to come back to TPSA. Mikey McCoy and Pastor McCoy had two of the four shell corporations. What you never see, and I don't know that it's illegal, but it's certainly unethical, that you have two people from the same family heading up two of the four organizations because they're not likely to act as a check and balance on each other. This is why this is not done. And this is highly irregular. Now, I wouldn't know this. This is what some of the people that I've talked to that understand accounting and how these nonprofits work, that this is never done. Highly irregular should be looked at, especially with money movement that we described yesterday. Okay, there are some things I want explained. The crime scene tampering and falsely blaming the police, Mikey McCoy. That's a load of garbage. Oh, really? We're supposed to take your word for it, Mikey? No, I don't think so. Get an affidavit from the police, and then let's let the local citizens file complaints and get FOIAs on the police actions that day. Because if they did this, number one, it's a crime and they should be prosecuted. Number two, they should be immediately suspended and then eventually fired. I don't believe you, Mikey McCoy, that the police told you that your strange reaction shouldn't be looked at. Charlie shot. I would have understood if you'd have dove for cover. Most people would have. But you didn't. You were just mere feet away. And that cell phone's up there, and we've seen it. The world has seen it. You calmly walk away. I mean, at least you could have acted like you were concerned. And I don't see that as a demonstration of concern. And I'm not willing to grant dispensation because people react differently. You were still on that phone, outpacing them, your colleagues carrying Charlie's body to the car, and you were beyond them, still on the phone. I want to see your call logs. America wants to see your call logs. You got nothing to hide, then show it. Now, if we had an FBI that was worth its salt, this would have already been done. But that wouldn't fit the narrative of a lone nut assassin with a written trail back to the person. That's why we call him Lee Harvey Robinson. Okay, no medical team at the scene. What? Tell me how that happened. No security agreement. No security agreement. Yes, you use the UVU form to reserve the venue, but there was one line left out of the standard UVU, and it's been shown all over. You didn't declare a need for security. Why didn't you clear the rooftops? Why weren't there drones in the air? Charlie had just gotten a plethora of death threats. Why did private parties transport Charlie to a hospital that was the furthest hospital away? Two things there. Don't they have ambulances in that part of Utah? Who would have been better equipped to provide immediate emergency care and perhaps keep Charlie alive if that was possible? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's suspicious. That needs to be looked at. Tyler Boyer, you're a little sarcastic. Yeah, we don't have to answer any questions here. We did a 990 audit. Yeah, you did, as I pointed out yesterday, the segment. You did a 990 audit on one of the four shell corporations, and against the law, you failed to comply with federal law on the other three shell corporations. Yeah, with one of them showing no employees, they got millions of dollars for employee salaries. Very curious. Very curious. Secondly, Charlie had drawn up an audit set of paperwork. Has he replaced Tyler Boyer? That's right. Tyler Boyer, why are you canceling the audit? You got something to hide? Give Charlie his last wish and show us the paperwork. See, the feds are giving you a pass because the cover-up's playing into what they want to do. The public is not going to be so kind to you. We're going to ask these legitimate questions. And these are questions, a lot of it just based on written evidence and video evidence. Why did Charlie replace Tyler Boyer, chief of staff? Why? In the same document as he was calling for the audit. And now all of a sudden there's not an audit? Do you think that should be an investigative lead for law enforcement? And then here's what really, I believe, cast TPUSA into a suspicious light. Your lack of concern over the sham investigation. I'll just give you one forensic. I can't find anybody who knows anything about guns that believes that there is a 30-06 that was used for all the reasons we've already said. Head would have been blown off, no exit wound. Oh, but the bone structure was really, really strong and it stopped other people from being killed. Bullshit. And that was Dr. Trotter that made that ridiculous statement. Oh, who also just happened to show up in the internet searches out of Tel Aviv in July prior to the event. Why were they looking up Dr. Trotter and the state medical examiner, Medea? Why? Can someone tell me that? We have a lot of questions, don't we? Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't something that can be allowed to die. Just like with the Kennedy assassination, there were a dedicated core of us that did not let it die, and we really brought this to a conclusion. We can do a better job here because of the technology, because of the evidence that's already been exposed. And the way the government's dealing with it is not to deal with it. The trial is going to be a sham. Since when does the prosecution of appoint the defense attorney? And people that have come forward and offered pro bono for Lee Harvey, Tyler James Robinson, and the court rejects it. So that's what we need to focus on next. And oh, by the way, Judge Graff Jr., this is his first major case. Since he wasn't even the judge of record in July, why does he appear on internet searches out of Huntsville, Alabama, FBI headquarters, their region, Washington, D.C., and Tel Aviv? Can someone please explain that to me? We've kind of narrowed it down, haven't we? And I don't care how justified Trump is. Oh, I'm saving more lives by doing this, so just shut up and trust me. Sorry, Mr. Trump, that's not going to happen. And there's too many people who feel like I do. And to the people that did this and to the people covering it up, there's too many of us to stop it. Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We're the show freeing America. Well, we hope it's 1 million enslaved minds at a time because we need your help in sharing. Everything we do is digital. So please do that. We are brought to you by BioTrust and their collagen product, the great 5-in-1 approach. This collagen product is one of the few that even dents the ability to penetrate the system, the blood-brain barrier. Restores healthy nails, healthy hair, lessens wrinkles, joint soreness, all caused by lack of collagen, of which you've lost over half by the time you're middle age. All you got to do, take advantage, is go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. 53% off and 60-day money-back guarantee. You'll know right away if it works. Healthwithdave.com. Well, we have a really interesting dilemma. MAGA is falling apart, and I blame Donald Trump. I agree with Tucker and Marjorie Taylor Greene. If Israel's attacked, yeah, we'll come to their defense. But the nation of Israel is not Jesus. And it's not biblical that I'm somehow committing a horrible sin if I don't support the government of Netanyahu. And I don't. I'd still advocate for defense of Israel. But I'm not advocating for reckless spending. The way to heaven is not to acquiesce to Israel at every single turn. And this is what Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker are saying. My salvation rests solely on the crucifixion and resurrection, which allows me to go to heaven. Plain and simple. It doesn't lie in Israel. This Judeo-Christian situation is a myth. It's a myth that was invented in the modern time, designed to make us guilt-tripped into thinking we have to do this. That's number one. Number two, Marjorie Taylor Greene is tired of the wars of occupation, and I am too. Venezuela, there's a better way to do this. You're wasting our money, Mr. President, and you said no more wars of occupation. I don't count the Iranian tax against that. I think that was necessary. But what's going on in Venezuela, preparing to enter into Iran as we're sending massive equipment there? No. And I'm calling on my fellow countrymen to make it clear, we're standing down. We're not going to participate in Israel's war of foreign imperialism. Not going to do it. And what really bothers me is Marjorie Taylor Greene's not allowed to express an opinion. Now Trump is looking for a primary person to get Marjorie Taylor Greene out in the primary election. So you're not allowed to disagree, Mr. President. That's cult-like behavior. This is not what you promised us. It was America first, and I haven't seen it. $40 billion to Argentina. I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene again. And why aren't we cutting back on the aid that we're giving Ukraine? You want to bring the war to an end? Apply the pressure where it belongs. Would I vote for Trump today? Yes. But I'm telling you right now, Donald Trump is splitting MAGA. He's driving Christians away. Marjorie Taylor Greene, on the other hand, I'm supporting everything she is saying because it's the America First agenda. And we're not getting it from this administration, and it needs to change. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, look, I want to thank all of you. Patreon donations are up, and we put that right back in the business. So we do appreciate your support and think we put it to good use. And thank you for joining us. And we're here, we're dedicated to helping you. We're going through some very unsettling and pivotal times right now in the country's situation and economic, social, cultural, political. We're going to focus on the economic here in this particular segment of the show because things are pivoting right now and they're pivoting faster than most people can keep up. I'm hoping we can shorten the learning curve for people. So as I just said, before we went on the air, we all can stay one step ahead of the burning bridge. The bridge will stop burning one day. Let's just hope we don't all get consumed by it, by making the proper decisions to invest in the things that will keep us afloat. Our guest is Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money, and we're going to get into a number of issues. But Guy, I want to welcome you back to the show. It's great to have you on again. And I would just say it this way. Crypto and Bitcoin, they're taking a hit right now because there's a big dip. And someone said that to me a couple of days ago, and I said, so what? And what? I said, your heart skips a beat every now and then. I said, it's part of the process. And you want to take that idea about how we should interpret this dip? Because I'm not panicking.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, by the way.
Sure.
These mid-cycle drawdowns are normal. You have to keep that in mind. You can look at past if that's any indication. 2017, during that bull market, we had 40% dips multiple times. And in 2020 to 2021 cycle, we had a 53% dip right before we hit the all-time high in November of 2021. So this is not, we're about 23% down from the all-time high right now. which happened last month. So this is not, out of the ordinary if you're just looking at, past patterns. Also, there's other, you could look at different models and all of that. Like looking at all these patterns, historical patterns, nothing is telling me that the bull market is over, right? You could look at, the like mathematical models, like, which we won't lose the audience, but Monte Carlo simulations, Fibonacci extensions, and whatnot. You could look at the having a supply shock, how, normally the peak happens 12 to 18 months after the halving. The halving happened last April. So we're still within that, time frame. And so according to that, we should be peaking, anywhere between now and the first quarter or second quarter of next year. So, I wouldn't panic just based on the price going down. The other thing you could say too is one of the things that happened recently is leveraged liquidations. So that means, I don't know if your audience exactly knows leveraged liquidate what that is. But for those that don't know, you can essentially go to, an institution like Kraken. You can, basically get 10x leverage. So you could put $1,000 down, you get $9,000 basically, or $10,000. And you can basically invest in Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin drops by $1,000, your bet basically gets liquidated automatically, and Kraken gets back their money, right? So a lot of these liquidations got triggered. And by the way, the rise of stablecoins contributed to this too, because it makes leverage bets, leverage trading much more, easy, right? Because there's you could do it with stablecoins. You could put stablecoins as collateral. So, with the rise of stablecoins, it actually accelerates these drops and these, increases, right? And so that's all that's really happening here is, that's not the only thing, but, this is part of the big reason why there was a dip. And so, you really want to look at the overall fundamentals. Institutions are really continuing to pour money in, right? You have long-term wallets, long-term holders, they're still holding. You got to look at the data, right? Don't just get scared by the numbers
Yeah, it's
and
not
give
the
it the
stock
fear.
market, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and you have corporate treasury adoption. There's a lot of different things that we can go into that's continuing to happen, and that tells me that the bull market is not over. And the macro is still very favorable also. We can get into that too, but there's a lot of different reasons. Like if you look at facts and you look at data, and even historical patterns, nothing is telling me that the bull market is over, So I'm not
No,
guaranteeing
no.
it, but I'm pretty convinced.
Well, I think you're guaranteeing it because you're not selling off. That's to me, that's probably the best guarantee is, watch what people do, not what they say. So,
Totally.
and I totally agree with that. But the what I wonder here about stablecoin, because you said stablecoin became more numerous, is that because some people who might otherwise buy crypto have gone to stablecoin, and so we have an oversupply causing the price to drop. Is that a factor?
Well, I mean, the biggest factor is the Genius Act, which was a legislation that was passed in July, which essentially put regulation around stablecoins and allowed institutions to basically be legitimate and regulated. So that brought in the trading volumes have gone up 70% since then. So that brought in a lot of players, and there's a lot of different use cases for stablecoins. But the biggest thing is that when people buy stablecoins, that's essentially the on-ramp to crypto. Now they can more easily transact and buy Bitcoin and do
Yeah.
leverage trading, like I said, and so that drives a lot of activity in the crypto space.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying on that, but maybe I'm wrong on this, so I'm going to float an idea and let you criticize it or endorse it. To me, what you do is largely outside the system as long as you're not ripping people off and invite investigation. Stablecoin is in the system. And in the system right now, I don't trust a government that would debase its currency than what we've done to the dollar. So to me, I'd prefer crypto over stablecoin for that reason. Am I off base on that reasoning?
No, not at all. I mean, stablecoin, it strengthens the dollar control, right? It basically enhances everything that's wrong with the dollar, you could say. So it increases inflation and money manipulation. And so that means that Bitcoin becomes, more needed, right? It's the only large-scale non-state monetary asset. So it pushes Bitcoin further into its purpose.
I think that's something that's very reassuring to me. I think stablecoin has a place though, because it's going to attract some people, because some people still trust the government economically. And it attached to stablecoin is the dollar, and it might delay the total demise of the dollar a little longer. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has its place in that, people are not just gonna switch to Bitcoin overnight. And so I think it solves some of the problems that exist with the dollar. Not the biggest problems, but it solves, the kind of like the settlement times, right, where you can transact instantaneously instead of, only during business hours. And it lowers, fees and things like that. So and there's a lot of different use cases, around decentralized finance, that now you can do things more easily with stable coins. So it definitely has its place. But yeah, it has pros and cons like anything.
Well, if we were in Europe, this is what I'd be asking you, though. Okay. Stablecoin, because it's under the control of the government and it's digital, it can be stair-step progressively into central bank digital currency, which can lead to total tyranny like we see in China with social credit attached to it. And that's what scares me, primarily about stablecoin, because of the potential abuse about how it could be stair-stepped in very covertly until the very end. To take over crypto and Bitcoin, the government would have to execute a hostile takeover, and there'd be no hiding it, and there'd be hell on earth, so to speak. I think they'd have a very difficult time getting away with that. So to me, that's another factor in my decision saying that Bitcoin and crypto are preferable to stablecoin for that reason. And am I being too conspiratorial here towards the
No,
government?
not at all. I mean, I think it definitely tightens the control over the dollar, and but you can mitigate it with regulations and making sure that stablecoin issuers that there's more of them. And but at the end of the day, the U.S. government can't come in, just like they can come into a bank and tell the bank, to freeze your assets. They can do that with stablecoins. But you want to make it so that there's more players and there's regulations around, what the government can do and not do. But then, if that fails, ultimately there's Bitcoin, right? And that's why it's a safe haven. That's why I think it's there, right? And if the government does that, it's going to decrease the demand, right? So it can't, I try to be optimistic, but yes, there's definitely a lot of risks with stable coins. It's not as bad as CBDCs, right? Which is, basically a digital monetary system that's centralized with the Fed, right?
I
So
call it
this is
digital tyranny. That's
digital tyranny,
what I
yeah.
call CBDC. But again, my concern is stablecoin, I think, is a first step towards government control over digital currency, which by definition would be CBDC and all the tyranny that can go with it. And with crypto, you'd have to have a hostile takeover. So, I mean, there's no sneaking it in. And that's why I think crypto is the better choice there. And this is my uninformed opinion. I won't say it's uninformed because I do talk
Well,
to a lot of economists.
yeah, and it's also that, the dollarization is still real. And so if you keep stable coins, the value is going down, right? So that doesn't, if you keep your money in stable coins, you're losing value every day. With Bitcoin, it's a store of value, right? So,
I'd like to
but
ask you
stable.
an economics question aside from all this. From when I look at debt, our debt, what, 37 going on 38 trillion now, and then we have the unfunded mandated liabilities that aren't even included in this, so it's astronomical. To me, what I wonder, Guy, is we sell our debt to foreign nations. China was notorious for buying billions of dollars of our debt. Do you think the reason that we won't cap and control our spending and why the Federal Reserve seems to be careless about it is because debt has become a monetized instrument they don't want to tamper with, so therefore we need to keep going further into debt.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I'm not an economist, but I you know, the fact that the US is the world reserve currency allows us to keep doing that. And the risk is that, you know, what if we don't remain the world reserve currency, you know, so we can't.
Which the BRICS nations are trying to do. And I don't think they're being terribly successful at it. I mean, they have the organization, they make the declarations, but I don't see any real impact yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll take time. But it's a very real possibility. And so, yeah, at some point, you can't continue to accumulate debt.
This is very turbulent times we're in. And because I'm immersed in this professionally, I'm able to somewhat keep up with it, but I think about people in my age range, okay? And you get people say in the 45 to 70 age range, they didn't grow up in this kind of world. Digital is like you may as well be speaking Russian to most people in that age range. And
Yeah.
it's got to be extremely confusing. How do you make the world of crypto understandable for an older person?
You know, it's so hard. You know, we try to put out content that is layman's terms, but yeah, I think it's just using examples. Because, you know, when you start talking about blockchain and, you know, the underlying technology, distributed ledger, you know, you could lose people, right? And so as we get, you know, real world examples, I think it's gonna be more understandable. Like, for example, JP Morgan just launched a coin of its own, right? They call it JPMD. That's huge. And
Yeah.
that's another reason why I don't think, you know, the bull market is over. You know, you're continuing to see more use cases, more adoption, more investment. But you know, they released this coin that essentially allows you to it's for institutions right now, but you can imagine it being used for retail. It allows instant 24/7 settlements, right? So I can take this coin and I can transfer it to somebody, you know, over the weekend and not have, you know, you don't have to wait for Monday to receive it, right?
Exactly.
So that's a real use case,
Yeah,
and I'm tying it in.
ACH and the fast and swift systems are becoming a dinosaur.
Right. And so this, you know, automated decentralized system, it's not, you don't have to wait for somebody to wake up on Monday and process your transaction, right? So that's what the blockchain, you know, enables you to do. And so, you know, just showing examples like that, I think, you know, people are starting to understand it better.
Well, if the dollar continues to do what it's doing and we don't get inflation totally under control, I don't care what the government says inflation is. People know what inflation is by what they've got left, if anything, at the end of the month. And what is it? Over
Exactly.
60% of America is living month to month. So people aren't fooled by the numbers like core inflation. They don't count the price of gas or food, like we don't have to eat or drive to work. I
Right.
mean, that's silly. And so the government can doctor their numbers all they want, but I think at the end of the day, they're not fooling anybody.
Totally not. No. And you know, you still have the tariff risks and all these things. So that's why I think the macroeconomic right now, you know, you see gold is doing really well. Because people, you know, there's a macroeconomic, you know, there's concerns around the economy. And I think, you know, even though there's this temporary dip in crypto and Bitcoin, because of these leveraged liquidations or, you know, you know, so, some recent events that happened, par for the course, I still think overall people are concerned about where the economy is going. And so, you know, if you're looking at long-term investment for retirement, especially do it in an IRA, which you can do with us, you get the tax advantages. But if you're not looking to use the money, you know, in the next year or two to buy a house or whatever it is, you're looking more at your retirement. I think now is an opportunity because we just had a 23% dip. So I'm not preaching, you know, to put everything, you know, that you have in it, but, you know, diversify with crypto and buy a little bit at a time and maybe a little bit more w during, you know, downturns like this. So,
Yeah,
you know, it's all
I
about
think
long-term thinking.
this is the time to buy. There's no question about it with the dip. You know, and crypto isn't something I think you treat like a stock, though, like I said earlier. You know, you have these stock traders that they live minute by minute on what they're going to do with their stock. You can't do that with crypto. You got to ride the wave and know you're going to have this, but the trend curve is like this. And
Yeah.
I just think that people get panicked. I did want to ask you a technical question, though. Is the industry still locked into a limit of 21 million, which eventually supply and demand will escalate the price tremendously?
Correct. Yeah. Bitcoin is fixed at 21 million. And the supply, every 4 years, the issuance decreases. So last halving, it decreased from, six Bitcoins to like three, for block rewards. So, it's going to continue to decrease, and eventually you're going to be capped, 21 million, and none will be issued anymore. And I forget when that's, it's like in 100 years or something like that. I forget when, but yeah, and that's why it's a no-brainer. It's supply demand, and at some point, you're breaking up Bitcoins into Satoshis, so smaller, denominations, and eventually we'll talk about Bitcoin in terms of Satoshis. So if I have two Bitcoins right now, I could have thousands of Satoshi. Suddenly I feel like I'm rich,
So the penny
but
isn't dying, it's just being reincarnated into a different form. We'll call it
Yeah,
Satoshi.
because you can have as you could break it down into small, tiny fractions, right? With
Yeah.
Bitcoin. So
Isn't Satoshi the mythical first name of the person who supposedly invented this industry?
it's either one person or a group, Satoshi Nakamoto,
Yeah.
who invented Bitcoin after the 2008 crash, to prevent that kind of thing from happening. And that's the purpose.
The other thing that people are going to wonder, okay, so here's what I guarantee some people in my audience are thinking. Okay, I've got gold. I've got some food put away. I even maybe have a little land investment, the stuff that holds its value. But how liquid is this industry, Dave? If I need to access the money, can I do it? Can you talk about what your company or how your company, My Digital Money, addresses that?
Yeah, so yeah, if we're talking about crypto, with us, it takes one business days to settle, and that's because we use cold storage, and so that gives you an advantage, that you're offline with your assets, so it prevents, hacks. Because of that, we need to the next business day to settle the transactions. But yeah, essentially you just go and you press a button, just like, with many exchanges, you log in, and then, with some, sometimes we'll do it for you over the phone if for some reason, you can't log in. But yeah, you basically just go sell and buy, and then it takes one business day.
That's unbelievable. Tell me about your cold storage. People are going to want to know, can it be hacked or robbed easily?
No, I mean, it can't, the only way is to kind of break into, heavily secure facility and physically take the hardware, but it's offline, right? So the way that we handle the buying and selling, we do it in bulk, at night, and it happens during a small window, and it's done in a way that's within insurance parameters, and basically we really minimize. I don't want to say there's like 0% chance, but it's almost pretty much 0%. And so yeah, that's why it takes a day to settle, but yeah, we focus on security, right? Our platform is not meant for day trading, where you go in and you're buying and selling in the same day, and kind of arbitrage and all that. We're more for long-term holding. So you can buy today, sell tomorrow, but you can't buy right now and then sell that an hour later, right? But we don't really want to focus on that. We want to
Yeah.
focus on building long-term, and
And that's
keeping your crypto, not getting hacked, right? So.
it's a smart way to be. I was actually working out in the gym this week, and this guy started talking to me. We got around to finance, and we started talking about crypto and Bitcoin. And he just goes, "Well, it just doesn't turn around fast enough for me." I go, "What?" I said, "It can, but," I said, "think of your muscle gains, right? You got to do it for a while, then you have leaps in progress, and then you have a flattening period, then you have another leap in progress, right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I just described what happens in the industry." And he goes, "How do you know?" I said, "Because I interview people in the industry. That's how I know." And it's interesting the misconceptions people have, because they're so locked into linear currency concepts with the dollar, they have a hard time getting their mind around this.
Yeah, totally.
And people got to make the adjustment. And I'll say this to people my age. I'm not telling you to go out and buy gold, buy crypto, and ignore the dollar and the Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you're looking at a change, a pivot in the economy, and not just nationally, but internationally. And if you want to keep up and protect yourself, you've got to look at these trends. You've got to understand them. One thing that you have before we close, and I wanted to just bring this out. Okay, we're talking to John Doe in Muncie, Indiana, and he says, this sounds good, but I just don't know how to navigate. You have a play account on your site. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, play money account. You basically sign up and it gives you 50,000 in fake money, so you could buy and sell with it and just kind of to try the platform out and see how you would do in the real market. Even when you have a real account with real funds, you could still create a play money account, right? So you could have an IRA account, a standard cash account, and a play money account. And the IRA is real powerful because you get the tax advantages, so you get compound growth and whatnot. You don't have to worry about, taxes at the end of the year. I love it. I think, I wish I would have known about it sooner, but yeah, it's a
You're talking
great
about the
option.
IRA tax advantages, right? When you go to crypto to cover it.
Yeah. So if you're buying, you buy at 30,000, you sell at 60,000, that 30,000, you don't have to pay taxes. If it's a traditional IRA, you have to pay taxes down the line, but you could take that 30 and you can invest it again. And then you can keep doing that between bull and bear markets and, get that compound growth and you don't have to, and then a Roth IRA, then you don't have to pay taxes on gains at all. So that's real
But
fun.
look at what people do in the alternative. They have an IRA tied to the bank, and the banks can keep your money, Dodd-Frank 2010. They're not going to unless they're in trouble. But that's a downside. The other downside is this, is the dollar is a failing instrument. Okay, when you're looking at Bitcoin, the trend curve is up. So what would you like to back up your asset with? To me, it's a no-brainer, guy.
Yeah, totally. And we don't just have Bitcoin too. We have other cryptocurrencies, which also, are growing. By the way, XRP just came out with an ETF. So,
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah. So, basically, the big, like Grayscale 21 shares, Franklin Templeton, Bitwise, all of them filed for, S1 for XRP. And then one of them, I think I forget which company already has it, so it just came out. So we get more institutions kind of coming in, more, this legitimizes, not just Bitcoin, but XRP has a, and Solana and, all these other coins are part of Wall Street now, so.
Yeah, well, I tell people too, because you just rattled off a few of these and people are going to go, what? Okay, focus on one or two. Learn
Yeah.
about that. You can call Guy's staff, okay, and you can absolutely get questions answered. But if you're just getting into this, realize you're diversifying and helping yourself, but keep it simple in the beginning. And I think that's the
And we
best
can help
advice I give
navigate.
people.
That's why we're here. We have a US-based support team to help navigate, sign up, answer questions about crypto. We're here to help.
Yes, that's a rarity to have a US. Yeah, I had to do a computer support the other day, and I'll just leave it at that, saying what you're doing is appreciated. How do people get a hold of the people that can help them with this at your company?
Yeah, you can call 833-636-2008 or just go to mydigitalmoney.com and the number is there. You can always open an account without a person, but the number is there if you want to call us.
Sounds really good. I say mydigitalmoney.com. Our guest has been Guy Gottschalk, and you're listening to the wave of the future, people. This is the new time that's here. And to my former classmates, reunion time, I'm just telling you, this is how it's going to be. It's not going to go backwards. Guy, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you for having me.